All right, guys, welcome back. Going into part two here. Adam, tell us how it's set up.
Well, I assume it's a typical sex farce. Like, you know, there's the side room with all the equipment in it. Maybe there's like a secret camera hidden somewhere in the room so y'all can see what's going on. There's the main room. There's like a cantaloupe on the table, probably. Alpharius, are you dressed up nice or anything?
Well, what are we fast forwarding to? Like, what? I was in my room watching videos on being nice.
I was in my room. We can jump right to like the. Do you want to walk him through the interview with the security guy, or do you just want to wait and we can do that first? I know that like obviously, Piani, you rushed off to get the room set up. So
right.
Should
on the tech basically.
Should Eric be putting on like a butler's outfit to attend to their date, and then like if things are going really terribly, I can blunder in amusingly.
Yes.
It's done.
I fucking see what you're doing, Steven. I see it. I see what you're trying to do here. So here's the thing. While you're getting ready, you're just like eating a meal of whatever you eat, dinner. You bite your tongue so hard, it swells up, and you can't talk.
You can't speak.
Weird.
That's okay. Weird. It makes it even
crazy.
Better. I can wander in, hello, sir.
If it's possible to hate a man to death, it might happen here on screen today. It might happen. So, I guess you want to talk to security first. So you'll wait for that to happen.
Yeah, I think we're talking to security, and we've got the in-ear piece, and maybe I'm in the room that answers the door for Brumpo Dungus. But apart from that, I leave the room once I introduce them.
Okay. All right. So
Piani's in the other room managing all the computer stuff.
Yeah, so I think that there's a knock on the door. Some hours later. There's just like a heavy like thumping like knock on the door.
Yes, once if this is about the cantaloupe, we need some more, and then I open the door.
Okay. So you open the door, and I guess it opens in, and so you can see, you basically are like nipple height with this huge dude. He's wearing power armor, and it's like 90s Batman-style armor, so it's got like nipples on it, and it's all like anatomically like perfect. Huge, like bright red and blue power armor. He doesn't have a helmet on, but as you look up, you see this like dude with like a perfectly like square jaw and like a buzz cut. And he's wearing aviators, so you see this like curved mirrored reflection of yourself as he looks down. He's got a huge pistol. Like it's like as long as like a human thigh. Like it's giant. And it's holstered in a leather holster hanging off his armor. And you look up and he just looks down at you. He's like, Wilbur Higgins.
Yes. Who's asking?
I assume he pushes past you into the room. He kind of like gives you like pushes you out of the way with one giant hand, and like starts looking around. And just starts to walk around the outside of the room, kind of like picking stuff up. Like he picks up the cushions on the couch, puts them back down, looks at the ceiling. Occasionally, like talks into his headset. Yeah, someone say he looks like Duke Nukem. That's a pretty spot on.
I guess as he's doing this, I'm saying, sir, we've already sweeped the room for our own security's sake. I'm not sure.
He turns around and he's like, "You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Higgins, but I have my own standards."
Okay.
When I hear that. I can actually just turn any equipment off that might be picked up by this thing. Right?
Sure.
I'll do
he's
that.
He's just like visually sweeping the room. He doesn't have
okay.
His armor might be doing something, but yeah, and he keeps like mumbling.
Nah, he's not going to find my shit.
Yeah, so he finishes walking around the room and he pokes his head into the kitchen, looks around.
I'm back there with a tray of ribs. I turn to him with my tuxedo and like a white towel draped over my arms, and I hold them out to him. I say, "Hello, Miss and Guy. Hello."
Yeah,
it's nice. Like, nice stares. To see you.
He looks down. He's like, "What do you got there, son?
Would you like some ribs? They're fresh."
He walks over, looks down at them. He's like, "Yeah,
sir, please do not offer them." God damn it, Eric.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, he takes the whole tray and he looks around. He's like, "Do you have any beer?"
Of course, yes, absolutely, right here. Is is meat okay, or do you prefer a stout?
He just like looks at you. He said, I said beer, son.
Yes. I think we have some Pabst Blue Renaissance in the fridge. Okay. I open the fridge, hold a hand out, a nice cold can.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah, he reaches past you and takes the other five cans out of the six pack.
Cool.
And he nods and he's like, I'll just finish these in the other room. And he turns around and walks out into the room.
I like to think that by now they found beer that's not just zero calories, but actually negative 500 calories.
Whoa! It's so hard to digest that it burns energy.
Yeah. All right, I pop the top on my own can and just
drink it. All right, yeah, so the security guy walks back in the other room, puts this like tray of ribs and a five pack of beer on the table. And he looks around, he looks across the hall or across the room at the other door, which is I guess where Piani is, and then says to you, Higgs, anybody else in here?
You mean in the room, sir?
He looks at the door, he's like, in there. Why is the door closed?
Well, that's where our security team is set up if you'd like to meet them.
He sits down and he says, I'm gonna eat these ribs. Go ahead and get your security team. I'd love to have a conversation with them.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I walk in the room and open it up. I assume you have like a giant array of electronics hooked up.
Yeah, it's probably like a unicorn pressed to her forehead.
No, it's probably really warm in the room. And there's like wires hanging off the ceiling for no reason.
It's not that bad.
Your cable discipline's pretty good, Bian.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it's not like it took an enormous amount of tech to do this. Right?
That's true. Okay.
Okay. All right. And I was like, Miss Pick, the security chief would like to meet you. Is one security chief to another?
Why does he want to meet me?
Well, I mean, you're security chief, so you can trade secrets on security, I guess. I don't know.
All right. I introduce myself.
All right. So you come out into the other room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a guy. He's got a little like napkin tucked into the front of his power armor now, so it's like covering the front, and he's eating like ribs, and he's already drank three of the five beers that he has on the table. Two beer cans, and he looks up and he puts the bone down, like wipes his fingers, stands up, walks over to you, and he's still wearing his power armor, so he's like eating, so he's like wipes his armored fingers, walks over, kind of like looks down at you, holds his hand out.
I put my hand out, shake it,
and he's like, security chief, eh?
I am.
He's like, huh. Like, lifts his glasses. And he's got these, like, perfectly blue eyes. They don't even look real. And he's like, looks at you. He's like, pretty cute for a security chief. Puts his glasses back down.
Some would say that you've already fallen into her security trap, sir. I never got a name, by the way.
He looks over at you angrily, like, a sneer on his face. He's like, it's beefsteak. I'm Mr. Beefsteak.
All right, Mr. Beefsteak.
He's like, and I don't fall into traps. I make them.
I just kind of like, all right now, Higgins, just Mr. Beefsteak, it's my pleasure to meet you. Yes, thank you.
He looks at you, he's like, so, what's the security system around here? What are your tricks?
What do you mean, what are our tricks?
Well, I hear Brumpo Tungus is a mean motherfucker. That's what I hear. And he's got
evidence.
So how are you keeping him safe? How do you sleep at night, keeping a man like that safe?
I mean, frankly, he does a hell of a good job of it himself. You ever seen him in a fight? They talk about how mean he is in the race boat, but you wouldn't believe how mean he is in a fucking bar fight.
You know, it's like, I once heard he took on an entire bar of angry men all at once.
There's actually 12 bars at the same time. Don't even know how he did it. Only heard the stories.
He pissed off so many bars that it led to the next bar, and that went 12 bars deep. Can you think of that and imagine that in your head, Mr. Beefsteak?
Yeah, he nods and he's like, classic, classic.
I'm like, so I go like, you know, we appreciate and practice the more hands-off approach when it comes to security. You know, keep an eye on the area, eyes and ears open, report anything that looks suspicious. Pretty standard protocol when it comes to security. Is there something I should be worried about, Mr. Beefsteak?
He looks at you and says, there's lots of things to be worried about. I'm worried about cancer, for example.
I
good answer.
totally worried about cancer myself, but I mean in regards
if
to
if you
Mr.
didn't eat so much Thomas. Meat and added some vegetables in your diet, you probably wouldn't need to worry about that, sir.
Don't you think that's a very stereotypical thing to say?
I mean, his name's Beefsteak. I imagine
maybe he got his name because he used the beefsteak as a weapon.
Sir, do you eat many vegetables? We have some cantaloupe in here. I know it's not a vegetable, but it's close.
He looks around the room while you talk, and then he takes the sunglasses off and sets them on the glossy surface of the table with an audible click, and he says, "Listen, we don't get to choose our names, all right? I didn't want to be Mr. Beefsteak, but that's just how the cookie crumbles, all right?" Okay. He puts his glasses back on.
Do you eat many cookies?
You just see one like perfectly sculpted blonde eyebrow raise up behind his glasses.
See, sir, I've been testing you this entire time, and you seem to keep your cool. So I think you've passed my test. Would you like to meet the man himself? He's just over yonder.
I would. I would love to meet Brumbo Tungus.
All right, let me see what type of mood he is.
It was good to meet you, Mr. Beefsteak. I'm going back to, you know, security officer things.
So you start to get up, and he's like, "Hold on a second." And he like turns his wrist, and a little like business card comes out of a slot on his armor, and he hands it to you. And it says on it, it's like a little like plastic, like gray card, and it says Mr. Beefsteak, Fotenhauer Society, and it's got a little animated, like, it's him, but he's wearing like a Speedo, and he's like flexing his muscles, and like looking out of the card at you, and it's got his like calm number on it.
Well, thank you for this, Mr. Beefsteak. I'm sure if I ever...
Sicarian would never stand for such behavior.
Need anything, like, I'll give you a call.
I hope you do.
I, you know what? I'm like, oh, wait. And I run back in my room.
Yeah.
And I write my comm number on a piece of paper.
Okay.
And then I get, and I don't have a fancy card like you do here, but, you know, in case you need to call me.
All right. Yeah. He takes it very, like, gently from you, and he, like, folds it up, and a little slot opens in the front of his armor. And it closes. And he's like, thank you. I will.
Mr. Beefsteak, you be careful about putting that too close to your heart, you see.
He, like, looks over his glass at you. He's like, I would never. I'm a professional.
Okay. All right. One second. Let me go collect Mr. Brumpus Tungus for you. One second. I go in the room, and I'm just like, Sir Tungus!
As you open the door, it's mostly dark. And I have my back to you, and I'm just buttoning up a all-white cowboy suit, like like a Western, you know, like bow tie, hat, everything. Or not bow tie, Bowie tie is what it's called.
Right? Yeah, one of the little bolos. With the,
yeah. Beautiful. And then I just turn, like, you can just see my side of my head, and I say, is it time?
Yes. The security officer, Mr. Beefsteak, wishes to have a meeting, so... If you'd like, and you're ready.
Yep, I turn around, give him a nod, and start come walking out.
Okay, as you start walking out, I'm kind of looking at the ground running. I'm just spitting a bunch of bullshit out, saying, like, what your schedule is for the evening and all that stuff. And then at the end, there's cantaloupe on the table if you do wish to divulge yourself.
All right, I enter the room and stop, and as you say, there's cantaloupe on the table. I say, my dear Mr. Hatman, you know how much a cantaloupe raises my spirits in the morning more than a western sun and a cool breeze. Thank you so much. And I walk in, and I see this beefsteak guy, and I say, you must be the security man. Aren't you a tall drink of a mint julep of a man? I could just lay you down, smother on a sauce, and bake you all day.
He stands up, and he says, I don't understand anything you just said, but thank you.
It's probably mostly unintelligible, but I'll tell you what you just said made perfect sense. Please, sit down. You are a guest in our home, and I am so happy to have you here.
He looks back at this, and he's like, I was just sitting down.
Yes, but you're now... You know what? You caught me in a bit of a tongue twister at right now. Touching down on my mind like the hand of God itself. I am so betwixt thoughts right now that I cannot straighten them out. You'll have to forgive me for the confusions. Can I get you a drink? Did they already offer you that piss water beer? We have better stuff.
He says, I shouldn't, really. I'm on the job.
You are a professional. I can see that in you, the way you keep that suit so tidy. I like a man that isn't afraid to wipe a little bit of steak sauce on his chest either. I think that brings out a certain rugginess.
As you're talking, he like brings his hand up and like crumples the napkin and just, like, brings it down to his waist.
As he's doing that, I move over and sit myself down and cross my legs.
Okay. So he stands there and he kind of like folds his arms. There's like a faint grinding noise as the power armor sort of clicks against itself. And he looks at you and he says, "It's my understanding you wanted to meet with my client, Miss Nganzai. Is that true?"
"I believe it to be the responsibility of any heterosexual man to want to meet your client, as she is probably, if not most certainly, the shiningest star in the sky of our own night right now."
I kind of chime in and say, "Mr. Tungus, you're selling yourself short. You've raced across the galaxy, remember?"
"I didn't want to come off as too imprudent. The fact of the matter is, if I don't have a moment's of time with this woman, there's a good chance my heart just might stop moving altogether."
"We would not like that, Mr. Beefsteak, as he does have a race this weekend. I'm sure you're..."
"Well, the only race going on right now is my thoughts as I'm thinking about what I would say to such a beautiful little young lass."
"Of course, Mr. Tungus, that is correct. I forget."
And he's just been kind of like looking back and forth between you while you're talking.
"Can I just say, before we get too far down the topic line as well, I understand you to be Fotenhau, is that correct?"
"That's right."
"Can I just say, with probably one of the most educated minds in the room outside of yourself, that Fotenhau happens to be led by one of the most goddamn charismatic, beautiful, and probably well-thought-out human beings I've ever come to even deign to encounter. I just have to say, that Mrs. Sakarian, he is as shiny and great as there ever was in any story or swan song game ever played, for sure."
"Looks to you, he's like, yeah, I hear he's pretty great."
"So you, you've never met Mr. Sakarian?"
"I've only read the data feeds about him. He's simply just a one of a kind, that one.
You know,
a unique character, never to be replicated. Certainly no Vincent Longbourn is anything like him, for sure."
From the other room, "Oh, Mr. Sakarian, very nice. I liked him a lot."
"Yeah, well, if I ever see him, I'll tell him Brumpo Tungus says hi, but, so I'm here to check out your security. And, everything seems up to par. You seem like a complete lunatic, no offense."
"I get that a lot. My kindness can be a little bit overwhelming, especially for such a big, burly man like yourself. I'm sure you're used to more straight and narrow type of characters, if I'm not mistaken."
"Listen, I mean, I don't want to get too personal with you here, but you don't really know me, so..." He, like, looks around. I think I'm going to go. This has gotten weird, and, I'm not getting paid for weird, so...
"Fantastic. To be fair, you're a super archetypical, very stereotypical character for security. I could make a lot of, probably, judgments about you, and you've made them about me. The fact of the matter is, you are here because you're a lackey for a more important person to assess the security of a team of people that are more important than you as well. You'll be able to deem that I'm here safe, maybe a little bit crazy because you're uncomfortable with proper feelings and kindness. I understand. Your dad did things that you probably shouldn't have and created such a thing as yourself. But here we are, nonetheless. Tell your person who pays you money so that you may exist that it's all okay."
So he looks at you, and we see his face, and we see Brumpo Tungus and Higgs each reflected in one of his glasses. And there's like a brief flash, and we see like a cottage on a farm somewhere. There's some like space cows, and we see a young boy in overalls, you know, playing with a stick like it's a gun, running around. And we see a man, a kind of farmer looking guy with a piece of straw sticking in his mouth, sitting on a stump, looking across at his boy, just nodding. And then it flashes forward to, you know, he's wearing a suit now. There's a kid, he's kind of growing up. He's going off to when they're at a spaceport, and his old dad's there, shaking his hand. He's like, "Make me proud, son." And the kid gets on a spaceship and flies away. And then later we see that farm exploding as pirate ships bombard it with lasers. And we cut back to the room, and all we see is underneath his mirrored sunglasses, just a single tear. Slides down Mr. Beefsteak's face. And he salutes you. And he's like, "Everything seems in order here. I gotta go." And he turns on a heel and heads for the door.
"Sir, will we be in contact? I'm not sure how this went. You seem to be crying for some reason."
He turns around and he's like, "I'm not. Everything's fine. I'm fine.
Okay. I won't mention that in the discussions.
I just have to leave. I have to go.
In the other room, I've actually got the entire table floating in the air as I'm sweeping underneath it. I just nod at him as he comes out.
Yeah, he walks past you. Walks out.
Like, as he kind of steps out, I'm like shaking my head. I'm just like, I did not get the character correct. I'm sorry. I think
sometimes men like that will respond well to how you have treated him. So I would assume all things are in order.
As long as you guys are I honestly have no idea what's going on. But yeah, you've asked me to do these things. I'll continue.
Yeah, it's great. Keep on studying those videos, please.
I'll be in my room.
Okay. All right. Turn some lights on, too. That's creepy.
I see better in the night, and he like closes the door as he.
I walk into the security room. I've got my arms at my hips. It's like, well, I thought that went pretty well, don't you? I'm asking, talking to Piani at this point.
I mean, I feel like it would have been more entertaining for me if you would have just spoken every word and had a fair. But yeah, it actually went quite well. I think Altherius, you did good.
He's got the door closed.
I can still hear.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Stop listening to our conversations, please.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I guess we just wait. Would you like to join me down at the bar, Piani? I'll probably be out for all night.
You know what? I will.
Okay, good. Eric, I'd offer you the invite, but to be honest, I can't stand you in my presence for more than 10 minutes, so. I'll be at the bar.
I understand.
I just kind of like leave.
Okay. So we're left with Eric, whose ribs had been eaten and the beer is all gone.
Been drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Just there's this moment where you're standing there, probably still like, like holding the broom and on the table there's just this empty plate of bones, of saucy bones, and a crumpled pile of crushed beer cans because, you know, Mr. Beef said he can't just drink a beer, he has to crush it against his forehead or whatever.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Tungus, I'm going to watch a movie. Would you like to join me?
The door opens and Alferis like kind of sticks his head out and is like, I was told not to listen to conversations, but I must admit that I listened to yours. Yes, that is
right. Excellent. I think Space Wars 27 is on.
It's the best one.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay, so you two sit down on the couch and start watching the movie. Okay, cool. So you, Piani, you and Higgs are going to head downstairs to the bar?
I guess we are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's gone. The bar's gone into night mode. Like it's in its after hours. The game stuff is kind of over. It's a little bit more like classy. So the hollow stage has been replaced with essentially like a full jug band, dressed in like tuxedos, but playing like a washboard and a stick with a piece of twine on it, someone blowing over the top of a jug with three X's on the front. But they're playing like chamber music, and the conversation has gotten quiet. People are you know, talking, and so you can see this crowd, kind of the same crowd that I mentioned before, but they've all kind of like chilled out.
Piana, would you like me to get you a drink?
I would.
Okay. Typically, when someone asks that, they say, yeah, I'll take A, and then fill in the blank with the drink.
Fuck, what do I want to drink? I don't know. What's...
You know what? I'll take care of it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
You're the drinker. You're the... Yeah.
Yeah, so I go to the bar and order the... whatever the house martini is.
Yeah, it would be probably because you're, I guess, on a planet with like salt water. It would
probably be a martini with whiskey or something.
Whiskey, ice cube.
It's just a martini glass full of Jack Daniels with an olive in it. Some pickle juice.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go in order and you come back. And I think by then, like, Piani, you've got a table. There's like crowds of other people around, just sitting, talking, and you all sit down at the table.
Do I notice anyone at the bar?
Are you looking for anybody in particular?
Yeah, I'm just like head scanning as I go.
Okay.
Get the drink and then come back to the table.
You don't see Pollard, but you see the guy he was talking to, the Samoan dude in the ratty suit.
Does he have any distinguishable marks or tattoos or?
Yeah, I mean his whole face is like got sort of like traditional like Polynesian tattoos on it. His hands too.
Okay.
He's sitting at the bar alone, seemingly. There are people around him, but they're turned. They've got their back to him, talking to them. And he's sitting at the bar. He's got a beer and a mostly empty bottle of alcohol and an ashtray that's like a little mountain of cigarette butts now.
Okay. I guess that's where I walk up to and order the drink. I order the drink and turn to him and say, so how you know Vince?
And he like turns slowly and his eyes are all bleary and like bloodshot. And like one of them, the pupil dilates a little bit, but the other one doesn't. And he kind of looks up at you and he's like, I'm his lawyer. Turns back to the cigarette he's smoking.
Well, I don't believe that for a second. Where'd you study?
Kind of squints at you. Lawyer school.
Ah, you should work on that for the next time someone asks you this, because I don't believe it for a second. I grab the drinks and walk away.
Yeah, he stubs out the cigarette and he's lighting another one as you walk away.
Okay. Yeah, I go back and sit at Piani, or sit at the table Piani's got.
Okay. All right.
This is an Asian, yeah, I guess an Asian specialty. It's martini, but you see, instead of what they usually use, there's just whiskey. I don't know why they put the olive in it, but it'll do fine.
I think I eat the olive first and then take a sip. Do I have to make a saving throw of any kind? I just kind of like, I obviously, this is not really my type of drink, but I'm just like,
Yeah, you better get used to it because we're going to be drinking that for a couple days.
Mm.
Say that, see that, I'm not going to point, but you see the giant Samoan dude, and I just blatantly point at him.
Yeah, and dude is huge. He's like very, he's pretty short.
The one
short.
You're pointing
he's,
at.
He's like 5'3", but he's like round. He's like huge, burly dude.
Yeah, that, what about him? That man says he's the lawyer for Mr. Pollard. I don't believe that for a second. Just thought it was interesting.
What would he be doing here in the first place?
Mr. Pollard?
Yeah.
Probably looking to put some of these people on TV, I would assume.
I bet you could find out real quick if he's telling the truth or not.
How's that?
Tell him that there's another TV exec walking around trying to score the big story with all the drivers. Mentioned that he's interested in Bumbatungus. Might cause some ruckus.
Okay.
If, in fact, he is the lawyer, he'd react. If he's just not, he won't give a fuck.
You know, that's a brave brave plan. I need another drink. And I just finished my drink. One sip, put it down and walk back to the bar right next to him. And order the drink. And is anything changed in his demeanor?
No. He seems kind of depressed. Like he's just like drinking and smoking and not talking to anybody and just staring at this ashtray.
Okay. I kind of say, hey, it's me again. Yeah. You see that young lady over there at the table, and I point right at Piani. I'm sure she's staring at me.
Yeah. He follows. He very slowly, like you point. And he very slowly like follows your arm and like leans over. And now Piani, both of them are looking at you. Like just...
Yeah, that lady over there is a TV executive who's here to represent Mr. Brumpotungus. And is talking to me. I figured you might find that interesting. So if it is, feel free to come join us at the table. We'd love to have you.
Okay.
I just walk off and go sit down. I sit down and be like, I told him, let's see what happens.
You told them what?
I told him that there's another.
Yeah, I saw you pointing at me.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you pointing at me for?
No, I was pointing at the guy on the other side of the table. I was pointing at that, sir. That gentleman right there.
I think you're lying, Higgs.
Well, you know me better than most. I lean back.
You're not wrong.
I just wait.
I'm just like kind of like my eyeballs are as wide as they could be for just like what the fuck is about to happen.
So the two of you are maybe watching this guy, and he follows Higgs. He watches Higgs walk over the table, and then he turns and you see him like wipe his forehead, and then that doesn't seem sufficient, so he like grabs a wad of napkins and like wipes the sweat off his forehead, and crumples them up, puts them on the bar, he pulls up his briefcase onto the bar, knocks over his drink, kind of looks around like nervously, like looks at the spill for a second, opens the briefcase up, but not all the way, like opens it a little and like peers into it. Like he's looking through like a door, looks in, closes it, looks in again, closes it, latches
Which
it.
Which guy is this?
This is the lawyer guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he pulls the, he like yanks the briefcase off the bar, straightens his tie, and steps down off the stool and starts to walk towards you. He's walking over to your table.
All right, Piani, you were right. I was lying. You're now TV exec. Good luck. And I just kind of like, I immediately turn and just stare at this guy with a big smile as he walks over the table.
I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah. So he walks over and he just stands there, like next to the table, staring at you, Piani.
Hello, I don't think
unblinking
we've met
sweat.
Yet. Can I help you, sir? You tried one of these fucking martinis?
He looks at them and he mumbles something. He's just like, garbage. Drinks on this planet.
Oh, you. I actually agree with you on that. Definitely not my cup of tea.
Sir, do you have a name? No. You feel free to sit down at our table, but we need a name first.
He says, yeah, hang on. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a bunch of stuff. I think like some keys, like a keychain falls on the table. It's got a little like float, like a boat floater on it with a like a piece of pizza on the side of it. Some paper clips, and he pulls out a crumpled up business card. He's like, "It's my last one," and he hands it to you, Piani.
I like uncrumple the rest of it. And
it's a little damp when he hands it to you, so the ink has run a little. It's got a picture of like scales on one side. The name is all blurry, like it's got a thumb smear where the name would be, and there's like a comm number. And he like folds his arms and looks at you like, "Yeah, see, I'm a real lawyer. I told you."
What? I can't read the name right there.
Well, hold on. Let me look at the card. I'll pull the card over, sir. Okay. Yeah, no, that's intelligible. What the fuck's your name?
he looks around like really conspiratorial. He's like, "It's not safe to use real names here. You understand? You can call me Dr. Loco." Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
Okay. Well, this just got much more interesting, didn't it, Piani?
Dr. Loco.
He sits down. Yeah, he's before you even finish, like, have a seat, he sits down and, like, pops open his briefcase again, like, conspiratorially, and, like, reaches a fat, sweaty hand inside and pulls out an inhaler. And he shakes it next to his ear. He's like, "You two got the fever?"
No, I'm not partaking in that. But Miss Pick,
how about you?
Correct?
Holds the inhaler out to you.
To me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Piani grabs it.
Yeah.
And she does the old, like, fake snorting a line of coke.
Right.
And she, like,
you, like, inhale it, but blow it up the side of your mouth.
Yep.
Or just hold it and go, "Yeah, it's good."
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. He sits there and watches you, like, really intently, but doesn't seem to notice that you didn't actually do it. And then he takes it from you, and he, like, unscrews it. Puts in another one from his briefcase, inhales the whole thing in one go. It's like holding his breath. It's like, "So this planet's pretty fucked up." And then exhales this sort of cloud of smoke.
"It is. I mean, you being a lawyer, you must know all about it. Are you just visiting then? You said you hated the drinks there. I gotta imagine you, like me, a fucking tourist here for the race."
"Well, you know, I go where the work is, and clients here and needed my legal assistance, so..."
"Do I know blue fever to be hallucinogenic?"
Like, no.
What are the effects of it again?
It's like an intense amphetamine. It just gets you, like, totally ramped up, and then you crash.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
You know that from personal experience. So.
Sure, yeah. I just got my arm crossed. I'm just letting Piani do the most of the talking.
Yeah, so I asked him if he was... Oh, he said he was here visiting clients.
Yeah.
"Clients? Anyone I might know?"
He looks at you and says, "That's privileged information, ma'am."
"Okay."
And he's just, like, staring at you. He hasn't blinked in a while.
Does he have
his briefcase? Is everything all right, Mr. Loco?
The briefcase is unlocked. Yeah, the clasps are open. Okay. He says to you, he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. It's starting to kick in." He like blinks hard a couple of times.
So, you're fine.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm fine. And he like looks back. It's like, "I'm sorry. If I introduce myself," he puts his hand up, "I'm Dr. Loco."
Yeah, Dr. Loco, right? I guess for all intents and purposes, you can call me One Eye.
He nods, like, "Good, good. Don't use your real name. Unless it is your real name, then."
You'll never know.
Kind of like grins at you, this weird kind of like twitchy grin.
So, my friend tells me actually. You know Victor.
Maybe? I don't know.
Well, I just, you know, I do some TV stuff myself.
Oh, yeah, Pollard, he's a producer. Client of mine. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, no, it's okay, all right? We need lawyers. I'm glad he's got someone like you watching his back.
You looking for a lawyer? I'm very good.
Dr. Loco, I'm sure your skills as a lawyer are well respected around the galaxy, but you see, our team, we've got a team of like 50 lawyers. They just, you know, I send a request just to our team and one of our 50 lawyers takes care of it. I appreciate the offer, though.
He nods. Looks around. I think this whole place is full of lawyers, if you ask me. See that guy over there? And he points at some, like, random, like, ace and mechanic. He's like, "I think he's a lawyer. Never be too careful."
You can't be. You can't be. So what kind of services do you offer, say I need them, you know?
Primarily maritime law.
Oh. What's the maritime law on a vehicle that enters low orbit?
That's space law. That's very different.
What if it's a boat that starts out and then it goes to low orbit?
That depends. Does it have a permit for low orbit?
I mean, I'd assume not. Like, someone, you know, there's a boot and it lifts to space. Do you investigate it or... I mean,
is it intended to go to space? I'm sorry, I'm a little confused.
Listen,
if it's in the water, it's a boat. If it's not, then it's something else.
But what if it starts in the water and then it goes to space? Is it then galactic law, or is it because the crime originated, or because, you know, if I'm missing a boat, like, do I report it to maritime law or because it went to space, galactic law?
It's just kind of like, you could see him trying to, like, figure out what the fuck you're talking about. It's the gears are just grinding.
All right, well, it's a stupid question anyway. It's an argument with my friend.
So he says, he's like, "All right, I need a drink." He looks at you, Higgs, like, "You need a drink? You want a drink? Drinks?"
Yeah, you know what? I'll go ahead and get it. You could stay here. What would you like, sir?
He kind of squints at you. He's like, "You know what? I'm going to go." And he stands up and he, like, knocks his seat over and suddenly just, like, scrambles from the room. Like, he's just, like, he just walks out. And he's trying to walk casually, but he's, like, kind of swerving a little. And he bumps into somebody and then, yeah, he, like, disappears into the bathroom, I think.
I turn to Pion and be like, "You know what? I feel like fucking with someone tonight." I follow him to the bathroom.
Okay, all right.
All right.
So, yeah, you two head that way. I think that we fade out and we hear the sound of like a phone ringing. And we fade in on the two of you, Eric and Alpharius. sitting, in the room. Maybe the movie is ending. The Space Wars 27 movie that you were watching is over. And yeah, the phone starts to ring.
Okay, I'd probably go answer it, pick it up. Hello.
Okay, so it's a woman from the front desk. She's like, I'm sorry, is this Brumbo Tungus's room?
Yes, this is Mr. Tungus's room.
I'm sorry, of course. You have a guest, Mr. Tungus.
Oh, no, I'm not Mr. Tungus. I'm the mechanic. No, I'll tell him that we have a guest, and then I'll tell you what he has to say. Cover the speaker. Excuse me, Mr. Tungus. You have a visitor at the front desk.
Ask her who it is.
He said to ask you who it is. So, who is it?
It's a Miss Kira Nganzai.
Yes. I shall see her immediately. Tell her that. Tell her that I will see her.
I'm to tell you that he'll see you immediately.
I'll see Kira.
He'll see Kira immediately. Yes. Sorry.
I mean, I might see the desk lady as well, but that's not what we're talking about. Well, talking about it, but I'm going to see. It's not what I want to talk about.
He thinks he might be seeing you, but I think he might be seeing Kira at this moment. At this moment, I think he has an appointment with Kira. So if you'd like to come see him later, then please ring back again. Thank you. Goodbye. Click.
Eric, you handled that fantastically. It was confusing for a minute.
Okay. I still don't understand what just happened.
I'm in a constant state of not understanding. It's fine. I go put on my white cowboy outfit and head downstairs.
Okay, so you're going to meet her downstairs?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so we just skipped you downstairs. Are you going to go too, Eric?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I'm in my butler outfit. I've got my white towel draped
over. Where did you get a butler's outfit from, Eric?
It's a tuxedo.
They're everywhere. They're literally everywhere.
You gotta have a costume change.
Okay, so the two of you emerge from the elevator, and we see the outside of the lobby, not the inside part where Piani and Higgs are, but it's kind of an open air lobby. There's some banjo music playing lightly in the background. It's a hot Asin night, so they have all the doors open, so you can hear the water outside, and. As you walk out, you see waiting, looking kind of like nervous. You see a woman. She's wearing it's Kira Nganzai, but she's wearing, instead of her like racing outfit, she's just got like a black T-shirt with the sleeves cut off on, with a like logo on the front you can't see from this distance, and she's got like jeans and sneakers. And she's like looking at her comm pad, kind of leaned against the front desk when you come up. When the girl at the front desk sees you, the two of you, she literally just like scrambles away in the opposite direction. Like she's just gone as soon as she sees Brumbo Tungus.
Okay. I come walking up and I say, Miss Ngazi, my name is Brumbo Tungus, but you need no introduction. Does the sun in the sky need an introduction? Does a cityscape behind the beautiful stars of a midnight prairie, some shit or another, need an introduction? I don't think so. I'm here to witness upon your beauty, and if you'll tolerate me, I would like to shake your hand, as is commonplace amongst them.
I think that she looks at you very slowly up from her phone, and then looks at Eric.
Eric is standing back there with like a signing board and a pen holding in his hands, just looking very, very starry-eyed.
And then she looks back at you, Alvarius, and she says, I'm sorry, you're Brumbo Tungus.
Yeah, I'm the man that's going to crush you in the race but wants to make friends with you, as it is polite to do with lesser beings. That's correct.
She kind of scowls. She's like, that's not what I was told. I'm sorry. I think this has been a mistake. And she turns around and starts to walk out.
Oh, my dear, where you come from, half sentences must be the truth of the matter. You said you were misinformed. I'm guessing you were misinformed about a great many deal of things throughout the course of your life, but if you'd like to be more specific as to how it pertains for this particular situation, I'll wait patiently while you clock it out of your mouth.
She turns around and looks at you again, and she's like a little stunned. She's like, Elgato is right. You're awful. And she like storms out of the lobby.
I go like rushing after her, and I just kind of shout, Kira, your victory on Thorkatla was amazing. Your last minute overtake was just incredible. You know, he's sort of running after her, shouting out like stats of her races.
Hopefully you're better at racing than you are holding polite conversation. I do pray.
Make a charisma persuade roll, Eric.
That's going to be the best. Boop, boop, boop. I got that -2 life.
I know, so excited.
Let's go. Oh, fuck!
Nice.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
So she stops, and I persuade, and she turns around as you come running up to her, and you just meet the like slap full on, and she slaps you across the face, and she's like, "I almost died on Thorkatla, you ass," and storms out.
It made for good television.
Like face is throbbing.
Yeah. Eric just like tears well in his eyes a little bit. He turns around. Let's go, Mr. Tungus.
Very confusing. I was told to be both polite and rude. It didn't seem to go well this time.
No. I think you are very both polite and rude.
I studied.
Very good.
Appreciate that.
Okay. So, are you going to go join Higgs and Piani, or are you going to go back to the room? What's the plan?
Maybe we should call that front desk woman. She seemed very interested in meeting you.
She did say something about wanting to see me, so yeah, we might need to pursue that later, yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, Higgs, where did you go after you followed the dude into the...
I followed him to the restroom, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so you follow him, he goes not into either of the restrooms, but into the janitor's closet in the same hallway. Just like walks up to the closet, opens it. His briefcase is open now. He's been like dropping like papers and stuff on the floor as he's walked out. He just pushes open the janitor's closet and walks in.
Okay. I follow a man and shut the door.
Okay.
Is it like a small, super small closet?
It's like pretty little. Yeah. Okay. It's not like tiny, but you get in there.
Is it lit? And,
Yeah. There's a bulb with a string, so he's pulled on it. And, he hears the door close. He turns around, he looks at you, and he's like, do you have an appointment?
Sir, please do not say any more. I have reason to believe that they're listening.
So he looks at you, and it's like, they're always listening. Here,
sir, you've said to...
And he like goes through what's left of his briefcase, and he hands you a sheet of like paper, essentially like e-paper with a contract on it and a stylus. And he's like, if you sign that, you're my client. Then I can't tell anybody about this conversation.
I kind of look at him and look down and be like, I don't think anyone needs to know about this conversation.
Just listen, just sign it. Just sign it and give me one credit. Then I'm working for you. That's how it works.
I scribble my name down and give him a credit.
Okay. Yeah. So he like you like touch cred sticks and he takes a credit. He's like, good. All right. And he like sweeps the front of him. He's got some crumbs on him and he sits down on a bucket. And he looks around and gestures somewhere. He's like, please sit down.
By all means, sir. You go ahead and sit down. It seems like you need it more. I'm going to worry about the room. I'm going to check for the standard precautions and I just start like feeling around the edges of the door.
Okay. Yeah, he sits down. And
sometimes they can sneak a microphone through the crevices of the door once you get inside. Gotta be careful.
I know all about the crevices, Mr. I'm sorry, what was your name?
They call me Randy.
Mr. Randy.
Yes.
Savage.
Got
it.
Yeah. Be like, okay. So what is it you're really in town for? Because you're obviously... Or maybe you are a lawyer, but a little bit of the different kind.
He nods. Yes, I'm a lawyer. I'm here working primarily on retainer for Vincent Pollard. He's a famous TV producer. Maybe you've heard of him.
Yes, me and Vincent have crossed paths before.
He's a completely unstable maniac. Needs constant watching. I don't know where he is right now. I'm failing at my job. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
We're currently involved in a Fear and Loathing Las Vegas remake.
I was like, I'm sure he's okay if I know Vince, as I do. He's probably just out partying. Not really anything you need to worry about.
And he nods. He says, yes, he's a very busy man. But what can I do for you?
Well, I'm just, I'm just batting 1,000 here. Wondering if, I got to look at him and say that and wince a little bit. So I'm just wondering if, you represent any other racers out there.
He shakes his head. He says, no, see, that's the problem with these racers. By the time they need legal aid, they're usually dead. It's the families. Those are the ones. That's the big money. I'm hoping to pick up a new client after the race. You know, there's always two or three people who explode for no reason.
Have you ever met Miss Ngazi, the famous racer?
He nods. No, I absolutely have not. But she's very famous. It's a big deal. Yes. I hear, and he like looks around as if he can like see if there was someone listening. He's like, I hear she has a special boat.
Really? I've not heard that. What do you know about this boat?
Well, and this is just between a client and his lawyer, but
of course. I mean, that signature means everything.
He says, that's how it works. Lawyer-client privilege works both ways, so if I tell you something, you can't tell anybody.
Yes, of course.
So, I hear this boat is actually a spaceship.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how do they race a spaceship in a hyperboat race, sir?
How indeed. How indeed. A feat of engineering. I can't wait to see it. It's probably incredibly illegal. Worth a lot of money.
Do you know anything else about this particular boat?
Only that it's probably worth a great deal in the right hands. I mean, it's useful for racing, but if somebody could get their hands on it, I hear sunbeams after the thing, which means they didn't make it.
That's true.
Which means who made it? I don't understand.
Do you know who made it?
He shrugs. Engineers, probably.
Yes, I probably would bet on that as well if I was a betting man. But hey, if you see Vince, tell him old Higgs is he's just one to chat. Just tell him that for me, okay?
I will. I'll pass that message along as soon as I find him.
I'm going to leave now. Make sure you stay in here at least an hour. I don't want anyone knowing that we had a conversation. I'm sure you'd be okay with that.
He nods and he looks down at his open briefcase, looks back at you. He's like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Okay. All right.
Listen, talk to my secretary on the way out. She'll tell you where to send the invoice.
Okay. And your secretary's name, sir?
He kind of like squints at you. He's like, I don't have a secretary.
Okay. All right. I just open the door.
Okay.
And walk out.
Okay.
Go back to
Piani. I feel like at this point, Alfarious and Eric are sitting at Piani's table.
Yeah, definitely.
And Eric is very animatedly telling her, oh, the overtake on Tharkatla was just incredible. She came up from behind. She hit a barricade and broke off half of her hyperboat. But, yeah.
Okay, so we cut back to that, and Eric is very excitedly telling the two of you this story.
I've got a big red handprint across my face.
This is where I walk up?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you two doing down here?
We met Kira in Gaza.
You did what?
I'll never wash my cheek again.
She asked for a meeting. It was confusing because at the exact same moment, so did the front desk lady.
She did what now?
She asked for a meeting as well. I don't understand why, but it did not go well. She did not respond to the politeness, so I switched to the rudeness. She slapped Eric and walked away.
That's how it happened.
Come on, guy. What the fuck? How?
I can't say this. To be fair, we still haven't had the meeting with the front desk lady. That could yield better results.
I think it's going to go very well. She seemed excited.
I'll improve upon the previous encounter.
I just kind of like look over at Piani. I'm just like, you got anything you want to say to your two dimwit kids here that just fucked the entire plan up?
Hi, I can't say I haven't done it myself before. I forgive you. It's okay. Don't listen to Higgs. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
So you notice just as you're talking, when you come back to the table, Higgs, and maybe your eyes are drawn to it while you're having this conversation, but you notice the lawyer's keys are still on the table. Is it the key ring on the table and like a handful of his papers and stuff there?
Okay. I guess I look at his keys, like how many are on there?
There's like a vehicle key of some kind. There's a couple of sort of miscellaneous keys that you don't recognize, and then there's like a heavy kind of like door key.
Okay. And in the papers, what are they, subject or title?
They seem to be mostly insane scribblings. Yeah, just like a lot of like doodles, lots of like circles and squares and.
Hey, yeah. Eric, can you make sense of any of this? Is there anything intelligible in here?
Yeah, I pick it up and I start looking at it, with my knowledge of Sigrid and also Hoveda.
I mean, it's definitely not writing in Arabic or Norse runes. It mm-hmm. just looks like the kind of stuff people draw when they're on the phone, like just like scribbles mm-hmm. when he's not paying attention. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I can't say. I think if we had a cryptographer look at it, we'd get more results, but I can't be sure. Looks like some sort of secret writing.
Is there a clicker, like to like honk a horn or lock a card, anything like that on the keyring?
Yeah, there definitely would be like a security fob. Sure.
Okay, I'll be right back real quick. I just like walk out to the parking lot and just like click it and see if any lights come on.
Yeah, I mean the parking lot is a long time-honored tradition. The bigger the parking lot, the finer the location. So yeah, there's just this massive field of cars, and yeah, you like walk up and down the rows a little bit, clicking the thing, and then yeah, there's like a honking. You get one of the cars.
Okay, I go over and just look at the car.
Okay, it's a pretty beat up, like older car, like maybe 20 or 30 years old. It used to probably be like blue, but it's really faded to like a kind of a gray now. There's salt like crusted around the engines, the little like hover pads underneath, and the windshield's got a big crack in it, some fuzzy pink dice hanging from the rearview mirror.
Okay. Does it have a trunk?
Yeah,
I go open the trunk.
Okay. So you open the trunk and you hear a shriek of terror when you do, and you see Vince Pollard in the trunk of the car. So he's just like, ah! And like flails his arms a little bit, and then like blocks the light from the streetlight above, and he like blinks at you, and he fumbles around, gets his sunglasses on, even though it's middle of the night, and he looks up. It's like, is that you, Higgins?
Yeah,
what the fuck are you doing here?
What the fuck? What are you fucking doing in the side of the back of the seat? What the fuck? Why are you in the back of this car?
He looks around. He's like, I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. You want a party? And he looks around, grabs an inhaler. He's like, I've got a room in the hotel. It's brilliant, huge.
Say, random shot in the dark here. Do you happen to have any contact with Miss Ngazi?
Oh yeah.
I saw you were talking to her earlier.
We go way back. Me and Kira, you know Kira there. Yeah.
Now is that the truth? Is there a truth to that statement, sir?
Listen, the truth is complicated, Higgs.
I know, and that's why I was asking.
You're a man of narrative. You're a man who likes to make up stories, don't you? Don't you? You have to understand the truth is a multicolored tapestry, and in one version of the truth, yes, I do indeed. Yes, no, Kira Ngazi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know why you're in the trunk of this would-be lawyer that I've got locked inside of a laundry closet inside? Janitor's closet, I'm sorry.
So he kind of sits up. He's like, I came out here looking for something. I fell in. I don't remember much else.
Okay. All right. Well, I kind of go to shut the trunk of the car, but I look to see if there's anything else in there.
Yeah, there's like a ton of like little glass like empty glass inhaler bottles, like kind of just like scattered around on the floor. There's some like empty liquor bottles, a spare tire.
Okay. Well, if you want to have a drink, we're inside, I guess. I guess I shouldn't be inviting you to this table, but by all means.
Yeah, he buttons up his shirt and fixes his shorts and follows you into the bar.
Okay. I go inside and I point out the table to where we're at. Mm-hmm. Say, I'll join you here in just a bit. I'm gonna go drop the keys off at the front desk.
Okay.
So I go over to the front desk. Is the girl there?
Yeah. She looks at you and she like she sees you coming and turns to walk away, and then one of the guys at the desk like puts his hand up and like stops her, and she can't escape, and she turns and you can see her trembling as you walk up.
Ma'am, there seems to have been an issue. This gentleman left his keys on the table over there. He's a older gentleman, I would assume, goes by Dr. Loco or Mr. Loco, something like that. I'm sure he'll come looking for the keys. Just let him know that Vince left them here for him in case he was ever to get lost.
She nods nervously and takes them from you.
Okay. And by the way, Mr. Brumpotungus is looking forward to meeting you. He was very enthralled in that conversation earlier.
She makes a terrified squeaking noise in place of words.
Okay. Keep it under control. And I'll make sure that works out, because we need something good to happen.
Okay.
I just walked back to the table. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, you head back to the table, and I think, like, you spend the night hanging out with Vince. Probably some things happen that aren't worth, like, going into, but if you want to hang out and party, he's always down to party. His lawyer doesn't show up again. He's vanished mysteriously, but Vince doesn't seem to notice. We probably get the short montage of shots of, like, you know, you all hanging out or, like, on the beach. Maybe Alferez is wrestling a dolphin or something. But it's, you know, it's a night on the town with Vince Pollard. And we can probably, like, fade in on the next day.
Okay.
As the next thing we do.
Great.
Okay. Cool. So you're all back in the hotel room. It's the next day. The race is happening in 24 hours, basically. That's when they're going to start.
Do we have a clock, like, in 24?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's 24 hours before the race starts. And you all wake up. You wake up real, real hungover.
Okay.
Are we, like, all in the same bed?
Maybe. Yeah, let's just describe the scene. Where is everybody when you wake up from your night of partying?
Oh, God.
Alferez doesn't get drunk, so he just slept normally.
I woke up in the bathroom for sure, in the tub.
Okay.
I feel like
Are you still wearing your normal clothes?
I always wear my normal clothes, Adam.
Okay, all right.
Just I feel checking. Like Eric is probably spooning Vince Pollard on the floor.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah, Vince is just wearing his hat and his little shorts. And he's asleep, but he's, like, kind of kicking like a dog does when it sleeps and, like, whimpering to himself. And you're just, like, curled up around him. Okay.
Yeah.
I would think Higgs is just reading the morning paper with a cigar in his underwear.
Yeah, perfect.
At the nearest table, just reading like everything's normal.
Okay, awesome. And Alferius, where are you?
Just in his room, sleeping normally.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
All right. So we fade in on that scene, and we'll take a break here, and we'll jump back and see where you go today. You got 24 hours left.
Okay. All right, we'll figure it out after this. We'll take this quick break, come back, go into hour 3 right after this. Don't go to more Roleplay Swan Song coming up. We'll see you guys then.